Well, let's begin looking again at 2 Timothy. Let's pick up in chapter 2, and we'd like to look today a little bit, beginning at verse 7. As we think about Paul writing this last letter, as we see him in chapter 4 talking about how his time of departure is at hand, and he's ready to be offered. He's encouraging Timothy. He's challenging Timothy. And as we see in both 1 and 2 Timothy, and then again with Titus, these books are interwoven together in a lot of the topics and the language. But chapter 1, there's a lot about confidence and areas of confidence in the Lord. So as we press on, as Paul is encouraging Timothy, we keep that in mind, that our confidence needs to be in the Lord. And in the midst of that, we considered how Paul was reminding Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of him, Paul, the Lord's prisoner. And of course, literally being in prison various times, he was encouraged how once at the end of chapter 1, he mentioned a brother that sought him out in Rome and came to him, who had at times been a man that refreshed him, encouraged him, so he could give those personal examples. Beginning in chapter 2, there are several areas or terms that are used to describe a faithful follower of the Lord. And in the early verses of chapter 2, we see examples such as being a good soldier and being an athlete and being a farmer as examples of pressing on, enduring difficulties and such as that. So with that, I pick up in verse 7. Verse 7, consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Let's stop there for a moment. And so as we notice, consider there in verse 7. Considering what I say, this follows suit with what we have in the theme of the book. Paul encouraging Timothy to think and consider these things, such as throughout these three little books, there's five times he'll say, this is a faithful saying, and something to focus on, something to be challenged with, something to consider. So, of course, we're reminded that the Spirit will lead and guide the believer through his word. And so he's reminding Timothy here to consider these important things. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He then goes from the word consider to remember. In verse 8, he ties in the Lord Jesus to David. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So when we see things about Christ in such as the book of Acts, those sermons in Acts, so often when the gospel was presented, it'd be tied in with the truth of the resurrection. And we would see Messianic Psalms a lot of times actually being quoted. So the connection from David, King David, to the Lord Jesus is so integral into the message of the gospel. You see the promises of David, such as the term, the sure mercies of David. You think about these promises, the Davidic covenant, and all these aspects of the kingly line that leads to Christ that came from David. And of course, David could speak of the Lord Jesus to come as the one that was the son of David and the Lord of David. And so a very unique role as you see the two together and that kingly line that leads to the Lord Jesus. So as he's reminding Timothy to remember the Lord Jesus, that in his resurrection, the one that came from the seed of David, In verse 8, it's neat how he says, "Is was raised from the dead according to my gospel." You know, in Romans, that great gospel treaty, he would use that language a little bit about according to my gospel. And so that connection that Paul had to what God had revealed to him and had clearly given, such as in the letter to the Romans, he would say things like in Romans 2:16, "In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." And so it was a very personal thing to consider the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and him being in connection with the apostle to the Gentiles. He referred to this one, this truth of the gospel, as my gospel. Very pertinent and very personal to him. So in verse 9, he again comes back to the understanding of suffering. It's in chapter 1, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." So yes, he's suffering, he's willing to go to prison, he's beaten, he's been shipwrecked, all these things we read about, like when he wrote to the Corinthians and such. But he says in verse 9, "But the word of God is not bound." Even though he was suffering, even though he was afflicted, God's word was not held down or bound. I like a couple of things said, like, back in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, talking about God's word. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, talking about God's word not being bound. Paul told those at Thessalonica, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course," or may run, "may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." And then another time, when he was talking to the Colossians, toward the end of that text, he said something similar. Colossians 4:3, he said, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." So just like with the Thessalonians, he was asking the Colossians, you know, pray for us. And we know God's word is not bound, but pray that we'll have free course and a good opportunity to spread the word. So still in 2 Timothy 2, we pick up here in verse 10. "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And so this leads up to a fateful saying in verse 11, one of those several that we have in these little books. But Paul could say that he suffered persecution for standing on the truth of the gospel and the resurrection. And in doing so, verse 11, the fateful saying is this: "It is a fateful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." So it's interesting walking through this little couple of three verses here. We see the word "if" a bit here. "If" sometimes carries a meaning of sense. Sometimes it can be used like in a sense of an argument. You see, like about the resurrection in Corinthians 15, he uses "if" a lot. He's just kind of proving a point. He's making a point. So here in verse 11, "For if we be dead," so that's a positional truth for the believer. Since we be dead, we're dead to sin and alive to Christ. That's our position. We can sin. We have a sin nature. But Romans 6 talks about that we're dead to sin and alive to God. And he goes on and tells the Romans, this is your position, so yield to God instead of yield to sin on the practical side of it. So we are, as Colossians 3 and places tell us, we have died with Christ and we've risen with him, like Romans 6 talks about. We shall also live with him. So there's a promise here. Because we've died with Christ and risen with him. We've been spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. We shall also live with him. Then in verse 12, another if we suffer, or that word is rendered endure. If we suffer, we endure, we shall also reign with him. It's interesting how James uses the word patience in the King James, and it's rendered the word endurance. And so if we suffer, endure, we shall also reign with him. So when we think about reigning, it seems that the tenors of the New Testament shows that there's different levels of reigning, you might say. You look at the parable like in Luke 19, the parable of the 10 pounds, and you see how that's carried out and that example is given. And as a result, with this nobleman, it says in Luke 19, and starting there at verse 11, verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And he goes on, and such as verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy 10 pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And so we see that through there. We won't stay in that text long, but the idea of maybe different rewards, different abilities of reigning. The Bible tells us that we will rule and reign with him. You see, like in Revelation, it talks about being kings and priests, and I believe it's Romans 8 talking about those things about future we have with him once we are shed of these sinful bodies and we're in his presence. And so if we're faithful, still back to our text, perhaps there is that different sense of reward in reigning in different ways, different levels perhaps. That parable talked about one that had 10 cities that he would be over. So verse 12, our text, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's a pretty straightforward statement. Kind of solemn, you think about it, denying. Now, we understand flow of Scripture that there's eternal security for the true born-again child of God. And yeah, I think about things like you compare the difference between like Peter and Judas. One denied him and one betrayed him. And so, of course, thankfully, you see how the Lord used Peter and restored him and such as that. So, but verse 13 goes on, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. So maybe the question comes to mind, who is not believing potentially here? The flow seems to be, he's talking to Timothy, he's talking about encouraging. As believers, there's a sense that we can stumble. I think about the things that said in Hebrews when it's talking about those in the wilderness and how that even like Moses, it spoke about having unbelief and such, and yet he still is a man of faith. He was in Hebrews 11. He didn't go into the promised land though. So there's areas of, the word unbelief sometimes is rendered disobedience, I believe. So I know there's a sense of being an unbeliever and being lost. And then there's a sense of our faith, being shaky in the sense of on a practical level. But, anyway, just throwing that out to think about the context here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He's faithful. His character doesn't change. Even when we waver, even when we, have difficulty, obviously it carries on into verse 13 about his character. He cannot deny himself. There's certain things God can't do. He can't sin. He can't deny himself. His character is perfect, and the long list of moral attributes of God stands sure. The essential glories of his, they stand sure as well. He's all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. He cannot deny himself as part of that. It is not part of his character. And so we see this fateful saying that Paul puts out to Timothy in a bit of a, again, as the flow of the book, challenge and, in a sense, encouragement. So verse 14, let's look at, perhaps we'll, this would be a good place to kind of cut off here. We'll stop at verse 13, but thinking about just for a moment, faithfulness, you know, Corinthians 3 talks about saved as by fire. You know, in the context of the believer going before the Lord at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, we're not at the great white throne, that's for the unbeliever. But it talks about some things would be like wood, hay, and stubble and burn up. But it goes on to say, but we are saved as by fire. Our salvation is not the context there. So we can, you know, think in terms of where are we with the Lord? Are we faithfully pressing on? Are we not ashamed of the gospel? Are we not ashamed of, as Paul was saying, don't be ashamed of me either. You know, here I am a prisoner of the Lord. So we need to continue to press on. And remember, the Lord's faithful, and he encourages us to be faithful. But thank the Lord, he's faithful all the time and in all ways.